When the red, red robin comes bob, bob, bobbing along, along, there'll be no more sobbing when he starts throbbing his old sweet song. Oh, wake up, you sleepyhead, get up, get up, get out of bed, cheer up, cheer up, the sun is red, live, love, laugh and be happy. What if I've been blue, now I'm walking through fields of flowers. Rain may glisten, but still I listen for hours and hours. I'm just a kid again, doing what I did again, singing a song. When the red, red robin starts bob, bob, bobbing along.
The following hour of Martha Norwalk's Animal World is brought to you by Jones & Company Pets. Their goal is happy, satisfied customers enjoying happy, healthy pets.
Hey, good morning, y'all. I'm Martha Norwalk, and welcome you to our Happy New Year edition of Animal World. We're here every Sunday morning, 9 a.m. to noon, right here on Alternative Talk, AM 1150. You can tune us in on the radio dial. You can tune us in on the Internet via streaming audio. That means you can share us with your family and friends around the country, around the world, if they've got Internet access. The best way to pick up the stream, go to the Animal World website. That would be www.marthanorwalk.com. Click on the Listen Live icon in the upper right-hand corner of the homepage. That will click you through to the 1150 KKNW website. Click on Listen Live again, and that will bring up the instructions that you need to stream the show. And, my, it is, well, kind of a high cloud, cloudy day here in the great Pacific Northwest. But as I look west, I can see the mountains for the first time in quite a while, the Olympics. And, Gary, look at that. They're all covered with snow. It must be winter. Yeah, we haven't seen
them.
Must be. We haven't seen those mountains for quite a while. And there's a nice little low cloud cover underneath those. Oh, my goodness, Gary, what are you doing? That was that. Well, that wasn't you. You're looking in the other room. Oh, that was okay. Well, let's get everybody to the party here. And that would be, of course, across the table from me, Animal World's production engineer, Gary Harrell, is here. Good morning, Gary.
Hello.
And since you looked in the other room, that whatever that buzz was that blasted us all out of bed, that would be coming from Animal World's co-producer and call screener, Sandy Gaston, is here. Good morning, Sandy.
Good morning, and I still had my PGM button on, so that's what made it scream.
Oh, I don't know what that means.
It's on my board.
I guess that means that you messed up the detail.
Yes,
huh?
I messed up, so today
okay,
is
today
my
it's all your fault.
Yes,
okay.
It is.
All right, so Gary, you're off the hook.
Yay.
I'm off the hook. Today, everything is Sandy's fault.
There you go.
All right, well, that's starting off the new year properly.
Yes, it is. 3 minutes into the show.
Hey, Gary and I didn't do it, man. Wow. Sandy's fault.
It was.
Wow. Well, it could have been worse.
It could have been. It could have been really.
Yeah. Yeah. But we apologize to anyone that got blasted.
Yes, I do. I'm sorry.
Yeah. But it wasn't me. So, Happy New Year, everybody. You believe it's 2010?
I know. How about that?
That seems to be the way we're referring to the year.
I kind of like that, 2010.
Yeah. I guess it's easier than saying 2010.
Yeah. I like 2010.
Less syllables.
I'm not sure how much I really like 2010 because this year I'm going to be 60 years old.
Uh-huh.
I know someone else that might be pushing their age there too,
oh,
but
really?
I'm not going to say anything. I can only say that for myself, but I'm fortunate that
Gary,
you know,
isn't that old. I don't know who you're talking about.
I think it's kind of exciting, but it's also it's weird. It's weird. 2010. 60 years old. I don't feel it until I look in the mirror, and then I know it's true.
I had an internal meltdown over the holidays.
Did you?
Yeah. Well, actually, I think it was Thanksgiving. It was either Christmas Eve or Thanksgiving. I'm getting all the holidays confused now, but I celebrate both at my brother's house. My brother's 3 years younger than I, and he's married, has kids, and our holiday tradition is we had Thanksgiving at his house. We also have Christmas Eve there. Well, anyway, I can't remember if it was Thanksgiving or Christmas Eve, but we were at my brother's house, and I think we'd had our wonderful meal, and we were sitting in the family room, you know, goofing around, getting ready to play games, because we usually play games. Catchphrase is one of our favorites. So it was right after dinner, and my brother had helped my sister-in-law, you know, clean up the kitchen, and he walks into the room, And everybody kind of looks up. So he gathers everybody's attention as he walks into the room. And then he looks at me. And out of the blue, he just says, "Well, you have a big birthday coming up next year." And it was kind of like, I mean, that was like totally out of the blue and unexpected. And he looks at me, and it was the first time that it dawned on me how old I was going to be. And I've never had a birthday bother me before. But it was like at that moment, it was kind of like, OMG.
Yep.
Oh, no. I mean, because I still... I've learned when you grow older, it's only your body that grows older. Your insides don't grow older, and your soul vibration, your attitude, your personality doesn't grow old. I mean, I had a little internal meltdown there. I'm sure my face, my jaw dropped, and I probably turned white and was in shock. So I'd had my shocking experience.
Yeah.
But so far, I haven't talked about it again, so thanks for bringing it up.
You're welcome.
So there you go. Ah, speaking of OMG, it reminded me of, I went to see a movie for the first time in a very long time this last week.
I haven't been to the theater in so long, the movie theater in
yeah.
so long.
Yeah.
I couldn't even tell you the last
time. Well,
movie
I expect
I saw
to be
there.
Going more, because now that I'm back out in the country in Monroe, I mean, we have our own, you know, big, huge movie theater that's
right.
kind of plunked out in the middle of nowhere. So, you know, they have like, you know, 10 or 12 films, you know, at a time and a huge parking lot. You don't have to fight the city or the traffic or parking or all of that. So I expect to go to the movie more often. But actually what went on this last week is that my Mini was overdue for its annual oil change. I still have trouble with that. But it needed its maintenance. And so while it was getting worked on, because they have a dealership now in Lake City and stuff, so I didn't have to go all the way down to Fife. But because it's in the city, while my car was being worked on, my friend came and picked me up. We went and had lunch, and then we decided on the spur of the moment to go to a movie. Now, just put that person on hold, Sandy, because we were in the middle of a conversation. How rude is that, Gary? Well, I guess everything is her fault today, so... I mean, how would you... So that, middle of a conversation, would you pick up the phone and start chatting with somebody else?
I think she
it's
can
my
do,
job.
She can do both at once.
Yeah, no,
I'm listening in one ear. I only took my headset off of one ear.
See? I see. Well,
multitasking.
Okay. That's right.
I was just telling you, I went and saw It's Complicated.
See? That's my life. It's complicated. That's what
but
we're going
I'll
on right
here. I'll
tell
you what a great movie.
Yeah?
I laughed my fanny off, I'll tell you. I have not laughed that hard in a very long time, and everybody in the theater was laughing.
And who's in this
yeah,
movie?
That's Meryl Streep and
oh,
Alec Baldwin.
Oh, yes. I've seen previews to that.
Yeah. Oh, she's such an incredible
yeah,
actress. Any role she does
yeah.
is phenomenal. But this movie is hysterically funny. Hysterically funny. Anyway, so if you're looking for a great movie... I also heard my family over the Christmas holidays, they had all gone to see Avatar, and they were getting ready to go see it again. They said it was so fabulous.
Yeah.
I haven't seen that one yet. But It's Complicated. If you want a good laugh.
Go see it. Okay.
Very, very funny. All right. Today.
Yes.
It is the first Sunday of the new year. It's the first Sunday of the new decade. Believe that? 2010. But it also is Vet Sunday with Dr. Al Pluckner, author of Pets at Risk, from Allergies to Cancer, Remedies for an Unsuspected Epidemic, the Breakthrough Endocrine Immune Balance Program, and of course the human compendium of articles that goes along with it. Dr. Al will be joining us after Animals in the News.
Yep.
So after the bottom of the hour, Dr. Al will be back. You know, he wasn't here last month because he took an early holiday season with his family, and Dr. Mike Saluski was in the house. But Dr. Al will be back, and we will have open phone lines throughout the show. We will be entertaining your animal or human medical care questions. We'll, of course, be discussing the endocrine immune imbalance, which he, by the way, has a new name for. We've been calling it the Pluckner syndrome. And he's got another name for it now.
Oh.
which I can't remember. And I believe when we'll be talking about this new website that is free to the public and has such great information, that the healthypetnetwork.org, we're going to be talking about that. And I guess we can open the Animal World Prize Closet, which we haven't done for a very long time.
Yeah.
We will be giving away copies of Ann Martin's book, Food Pets Die For. So if you would like a copy of Ann Martin's book, you'll have to give us a call sometime during the show. And we would be delighted to gift you with a copy of that book. And let's see, as usual, we'll start off with some follow-up. Animals in the News, the best good news about animals. 10 o'clock, winter tip, cold weather. I don't think we're done with the cold weather. It'll be back. We need to make sure our animal friends are safe in the cold weather. And then about 10:50, we will have current events as usual. And I believe we will have a new pet of the week, although Nancy McKinney, bless her heart, I think she's having a little trouble keeping up with the calendar and what day it is. And so we're late getting our pet of the week, but I believe that we have one. So we'll be doing that towards the end of the second hour of the show. So, anything on your list, Sandy, that we need to chat about before we...
Just one thing real quickly,
mm-hmm.
that if our listeners, and you don't even know this, would maybe take time to light a little candle, mm-hmm. and keep in their thoughts and prayers our dear friend Norma across the pond in Essex, England.
Yeah.
You know, she has other dogs besides Basset, besides Angel, the Basset Hound. She has Sir Lucky of Essex, and he is, are you ready for this?
Uh-huh.
An 18-year-old, 18 and a half, I believe, year-old greyhound.
Wow.
And
wow.
He has his moments where...
What was his name again?
Sir Lucky of Essex.
Sir Lucky of Essex. An 18 and a half-year-old greyhound.
Yep.
I don't know that I've ever known one that old.
I before. Don't think I have either. And he's a lovely old chap,
mm-hmm.
but he has a large rectal tumor. Mm-hmm. And he's going to the vets tomorrow, and they're not sure what, you know, is going to be done.
Yeah.
But just to keep her, and, I mean, she's such a... All of our listeners are special, but to have somebody across the pond even call us and... I've had people call and even ask about Norma. If you folks would just maybe light a little candle for her and her family, and she
so
has
lucky.
Her little granddaughters and that just love this old man.
Yeah, yeah.
That
well,
you know
of course,
whatever
you know,
they
can't
have
live
to
forever,
do.
But
right, they can't.
We'll say some prayers for the highest good. And
absolutely right. You
all
know,
right,
and that's it. Just for
now
the
that you
peace,
brought it up,
peace in everybody's heart.
And we usually Norma often emails us almost every week.
Yeah, she does.
It's kind of like, and if we don't hear from Norma, something's not right with the world.
Right.
So anyway, Norma, you will please keep us posted on how Sir Lucky is doing.
Yes, please.
And we will keep you in our thoughts and prayers.
Thank you.
All right. So that covers...
That covers everything for me.
All righty. Well, let's do a couple of things here before we take care of advertisers and sponsors. I thought I'd just mention something pleasant to start off with in Animals in the News. And this is out of, yesterday's Northwest Saturday, Seattle Times. The front of that section, bottom of the page, A Welcoming Place for Birds. It's... Gabriel Campanario's Seattle Sketcher column, and he just sketched his back deck, apparently put up a bird feeder that they got for Christmas that is being a great hit in his backyard. But he mentions, and it's too late because the big celebration was yesterday, but I didn't actually realize this, that Seward Park has an environmental and Audubon Center. And it's an educational center, and it's at the historic Seward Park Inn, and visitors can learn about the park's many species of birds featured in the exhibits and displays. It's a kid-friendly destination with an interactive display and a library with comfy furniture, including chairs shaped like mushrooms. And they had their annual Winter Bird Super Saturday, which yesterday. Sorry, I didn't know about it until yesterday, so I couldn't tell you, warn you ahead of time. But it sounds like a great place to go with your kids
yeah.
to Seward Park to learn about birds.
Sounds like a great place for me to go.
Yeah, yeah. All right, one last follow-up item, and then we'll take care of our advertisers and sponsors. Once again, you can search Seattle Times for this. The Wild Horse Roundup has begun in Nevada. We've talked about that, and it's a two-month capture of about 2,500 wild horses. from public and private lands in northern Nevada. It began last Monday amid protests that the roundups are unnecessary and inhumane. The feds say that the roundup is necessary because there's just too many wild Mustangs, and the habitat will deteriorate beyond repair within the next few years. And the unfortunate thing about this is they will be placing these Mustangs up for adoption or sending them to holding facilities in the Midwest. From what I can determine, pretty much the adoption market for these Mustangs is pretty much dried up. I mean, we know that
Right. Everybody
owning horses these days, especially the rescues, are in big trouble because of the economy, and nobody's got the money to afford them. And we know that there are as many or more wild Mustangs in these holding areas as there are in the wild. And I think somebody, the holding facilities, I think somebody needs to start getting the truth out about where are these horses in the holding facilities and what are the conditions like. I'm sure they're caring for them as best that they can. But, you know, if you're a wild Mustang, what quality of life is it if you're living in a big pen full of a lot of horses? Because that's kind of the...
It's no life.
It is no... Exactly.
I mean, that's just the bottom line. It's no life.
Yeah. So I think more needs to come to the surface about that. And so there you go. All right. Let's take care of our advertisers and sponsors for the first time in this hour. Remember, without them, there's no us. So this is the important part of the show. Please listen and support them. And we'll continue with the rest of Animals in the News and the best good news about animals. And then we'll pick up that Sunday after the bottom of the hour. So stay with us. Animal World continues right here on Alternative Talk, AM 1150. Hey, since 1978, Puget Sound area animal owners have been able to depend on Jones & Company Pets for all of their animal care needs. At Jones & Company, their spacious store allows room for everything you need for your animal companions. You can find foods, accessories, fish supplies, supplements, cleaning products, and a whole lot more. The store within a store concept makes it easy to find the right products for your dog, cat, fish, bird, or exotic animal friend, and Jones & Company rigorously trains their staff so they can easily answer all of your questions. Now, they finally have a website up. There is a link to their website on the Animal World homepage at www.marthanorwalk.com. You can click on the Jones & Company Pets logo, go to their website, and find out all the incredible stuff that's on sale, because they always have a huge sale. As I say, everything but the kitchen sink is usually on sale. And if you join their preferred customer card, you get discounts and free food and all kinds of great stuff. So it's always worth the trip to Jones & Company. You'll find them on State Street in Marysville. You can give them a call at 360-658-7817. That's 360-658-7817. At Jones & Company Pets, their goal is happy, satisfied customers enjoying happy and healthy pets.
Call Karma Specialist and Metaphysical Mother Robin Alexis for your free on-air readings at her new time on Wednesdays at noon. Psychic medium Robin Alexis helps countless people to live fuller and more conscious lives on Mystic Radio with Robin Alexis. Call Wednesdays at noon for your free on-air readings. Hear rebroadcasts of Mystic Radio on Thursdays at 8 p.m. and Sundays at noon here on Alternative Talk 1150. And check Robin's new Reiki Healing Energy Portal at robinalexis.com.
Canada Pet Foods is committed to providing you and your pets the highest quality, all-natural, human-grade holistic products using the finest natural ingredients available, including vitamins and chelated minerals. Canada products are made the Canada way, with superior quality in every bag and can. 100% satisfaction guaranteed and 100% nutritionally guaranteed. Check out the new All Life Stages grain-free formula, 80% meat protein, 20% vegetables and fruit, and zero grains. Discover why dogs love Canada. Go to Canada.com for more information.
Conscious living for conscious people. Alternative Talk 1150.
Hey y'all, Martha Norwalk. We're just getting rolling on our Happy New Year edition of Animal World. You can find us here every Sunday morning, 9 a.m. to noon, right here on Alternative Talk, AM 1150. Just getting started on Animals in the News, covered the follow-up department. Here we go with the news stories. Oh, this was just a great article. I forget about it every year. Could try to remember to get out there, but this is out of Wednesday's Northwest Wednesday, Seattle Times. Issaquah's reindeer games are almost over. Well, they're over now. But I forget about the reindeer herd that we have right here locally. Ever consider what Dasher, Dancer, and Prancer do in the off-season? Robin Barfoot can tell you. During the 11 months when they're not parading in silver bells and red bows, which some actually do in December, and when they're not serving as Santa's chauffeurs, which they do in Legend, reindeer, at least the nine living in Issaquah, spend their time at Cougar Mountain Zoo. So if you haven't been out for more than 21 years, the zoo has been home to one of the largest public herds of Siberian reindeer in the nation. So just an FYI, there's a great, great photo. Remember years ago, Sandy, we did the cutest dog nose photo contest?
Yes, I do.
This is the cutest reindeer nose. Look at that photograph. Oh. This reindeer going right up to the camera, so the nose is big and fat in the photograph. Is that too cute? Yeah, so if you do anything else, pull this article up online so you can see the photograph of this Vixen is his name. And the reindeer festival at Cougar Mountain Zoo is over. But so you know, for next year, it's held every year from December 1st through 23rd and December 26th through the 30th. The Cougar Mountain Zoo, which is in Issaquah. And the zoo admission is $11.50 for adults, $9.50 for children, and all proceeds benefit the reindeer or other zoo animals. So keep that in mind for next year. Or get out there and see the reindeer any time of year. The zoo is open. Oh, now here's everybody's nightmare. This almost happened to me. This story, did you hear of the dogs given to the wrong owners?
No.
And this is local here. Two black labs didn't make it home for Christmas this year. The two pooches swapped homes after a mix-up at an East Side dog hotel led them to be released to the wrong owners this month. Bella, who belongs to Stacy and Rob Peterson of Maple Valley, ended up spending a few weeks in Issaquah with Ann Galasso. Galasso's dog Layla spent time in Canada near Stacy Peterson's parents, and then in Maple Valley when the Petersons returned from a vacation in Europe. Now this is PetSmart Pets Hotel of Issaquah, where both dogs were boarded, is working to make amends, I guess so, in part by refunding both families' boarding fees. Well, I hope they do that. Both families knew something was amiss, but never dreamed they had ended up with the wrong dogs. And there's a photograph of both dogs. They're both black labs. But, you know, you'd think you'd recognize your own dog. But to the Petersons, the clues included the fact that the dog they thought was Bella looked skinnier when they got home, barked a lot more, and didn't respond to her name the same way. But they wondered whether she was just upset because they'd been gone.
And that's exactly, I would have thought the same thing.
Galasso chalked up behavioral differences, including much more licking than usual, to the fact that she'd just moved to a new home away from dogs that Layla used to play with. It was Christmas Day when the Petersons, still puzzling over the changes in their dog, realized she wasn't really Bella. Stacy Peterson joked that perhaps Bella had changed so much that she didn't have a gap between two of her teeth anymore. When they looked, she didn't. Quote, clearly this dog had all her teeth, Peterson said, and that's when things started to make sense. Peterson called PetSmart and took her dog to a nearby vet hospital that scanned her microchip. The truth was revealed. The dog was really Layla.
Oh, my goodness.
The hospital called Galasso. She was shocked because despite the differences, the two dogs are also very similar, she said. Layla has a bone protruding from the top of her head, and so does Bella. And Bella, she said, slept at the bottom of her bed with her cats just like Layla did.
Oh, my goodness.
The two dogs were reunited with their real owners the day after Christmas. Both owners say they will be much more careful in the future in boarding their dogs, and Peterson's not sure she will ever board her dog again. Both are glad that nothing bad happened. Quote, I had exposed Bella to the disabled population because I work with developmentally disabled adults, Galasso said. She said Bella also was exposed to her cats and to horses. Quote, if her Peterson's dog wasn't as good as she is, it could have been a disaster. Yeah, can you imagine if the dog that went home with the cats was a cat chaser or killer or something? And I had an almost similar experience when I took my Annie Golden to be groomed. Left her at the groomer's, you know, which a number of times, came back to pick her up. And when I walked in, because they had called me that she was ready. When I walked in, because the grooming area is right in the front of the groomer, so you can see the dogs on the tables and them working on them, Annie was on the table being worked on by this groomer. And she saw me and started wagging her tail, you know, kind of leaned forward.
Yeah.
And I said something, I'm here to pick up Annie Golden. You guys called me, she's ready, but she's still on the table. And the guy looked at me and said, that's not your dog. That's so-and-so. Your dog's ready. And I said, okay. And I decided to just keep my mouth shut and see what was going to happen.
Okay.
So they go in the back room. They come out and bring me another golden retriever.
Huh.
And, of course, the dog's excited to get out of there. I mean, you know, the dogs all want to leave, you know?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. Well, so I'm standing there thinking, because this was several years ago, but I was taking care of my dad with dementia and so forth. But, you know, at that point, you know, he still might have been capable of driving. And if I had sent him to pick up the dog or something, he would not have known the difference. You know, what a disaster that could have been. So I waited to see what's going to happen. Sure enough, they're telling me, this is my dog. And finally, before they let her, you know, open the gate and gave her to me, I just said, all right, I've had enough of this. That is not my dog. My dog's right there on the table. What, you know, and then the shocked faces all around and a whole bunch of shuffling and all of that. Well, yeah, I mean, the groomer, the one that actually made the mistake, I mean, couldn't even look at me for months. It was an embarrassing situation. And of course, I went a few rounds with the owner and so forth, because, you know, then when everybody said, well, you know, it was a busy golden day, we had five or six of them in here.
Well, that's even more reason to be...
I'm sorry. Hello? What kind of system do you not have set up? So I guess, you know, this is a warning, everyone. Pay attention.
Right.
When you take your dogs to the groomers, when you take your boarding and all of that, you know, and this groomer, I still go back to this groomer because they're really the best in town. And I do really like them. I have a long history with them. But even the best can make a mistake.
Definitely.
And that's all it was.
Absolutely,
it was a simple mistake, but it also helped them, you know, clear, really make it a difference in how they set up the dogs and mark them and all of that. So make sure that you get your dog.
Very important.
Yeah.
Very important.
Yeah. All right. Oh, and here's, it was speaking of the horses and the problem, another article. This week, well-known breeder of horses at Monroe under investigation. This is a 120-acre ranch. A gal named Judy Catton, who was home to some of the Northwest's finest working quarter horses, and she's gotten turned in for, I mean, because she was in the real estate business, apparently. And, of course, everything tanked in the economy, and so her life has just turned upside down, and now animal control is involved and confiscating some of the animals and the horses and all that sort of thing. So it's going to happen to anybody, you know, with these horses. I mean, it's, so pull up that article if you're interested in what's going on with that. Sure. Did you see the, because this made the nightly news and all of that, the trapping killing of elk closes the hunting season. Did you see that one, Gare?
I didn't see that one.
I don't know if Sandy, if you saw it, the elk business, but out of Concrete in Skagit County, the killing of about seven elk cornered in a farm pasture in eastern Skagit County has spurred state officials to close the elk archery season in the area and angered others who either witnessed or heard about the killing. Well, apparently up in that Skagit County, the elk are coming down onto the farmlands and properties and wreaking havoc with the environment. Mm. So they had opened hunting season for them, and people shooting with guns and stuff around
farmland
and stuff could be dangerous. Yeah. So what they thought they solved that problem. They opened it to archers. You know, I mean, arrow guys. You know,
well, I thought an arrow shot at me either.
But then, did you see the film of this, Sandy?
No, I didn't.
Oh, well, it was. Let's see. Obviously, this got a little out of hand. Yeah, really, Dave Ware. That's the Department of Fish and Wildlife guy. There's a farm up there that I guess this morning the whole herd of elk came down into the pasture lands, and somebody in the neighborhood saw them, called their arrow hunting guys, and somewhere in this article they called it an explosion of testosterone, which is exactly what happened. And unfortunately, all these so-called bow and arrow shooters came down and panicked the herd. They're inside a barbed wire pasture, and they just start shooting into the herd. Now, they ended up killing seven of them, but then if the arrow didn't take the elk down, then they just shoot another one, and so many were shot and escaped, you know, and it was horrible.
Wow.
So now the Department of Fish and Wildlife, of course, has shut down the hunting season, and now they say they'll monitor this better. And there was an agent there, but he didn't stop what was going on because nobody was actually breaking the law. But fortunately, there were neighbors around with cameras that got it all on film, and it was all over the news. So it was just, it's like those canned, you know, those canned hunting.
Right.
Places that it's just so cruel and unfair, and oh, hopefully that will never happen again.
Wow.
And this was another experience or episode here that food for thought. You can search this up online as well, out of Anchorage, Alaska. Missing sled dogs found in Alaska after 2 days. Did you hear about this one? Well, this is apparently. A woman musher out of Seattle here went up to Alaska and was like rented. I don't know if you rent a pack of sled dogs and a sled to practice for the Iditarod.
Yes, you can do that.
Yeah, she did that, and apparently was out and hit a tree and got knocked off the sled. Well, the dogs and the sled kept going. And they didn't find them for 2 days.
Oh,
and they were
10
miles away. The snow hook and the sled had finally had locked in. And so they had apparently just run until that happened. One of the dogs was dead, was strangled by the harnesses and the cords. Oh. All of them had fight wounds and bite wounds because, of course, they had no food or water. They were all tethered up and tangled up together. Really sad, you know. I mean, we've not done a show about it. Every year I keep saying, "Boy, we ought to," and maybe this is the year that we will. But there's great controversy over this Iditarod, and there's a lot of movement on the side of this is too cruel and abusive for the horses. There really is no reason to do this quote sport anymore because it's just too hard on the dogs. So this is certainly an example of what can happen or go wrong. For the dogs. Now here's another, and this actually could have gone in follow up. Now, I'm sure you know because I think we talked about it last week that the photographs of the Ringling Brothers Barnum and Bailey elephant.
Yes.
They're the area where they raise the elephants. A trainer actually spilled the beans about how. Cruel and abusive the training is for these baby elephants because the circus has always said that they don't abuse the elephants and all of this, but these photographs that have come out about how they train these baby elephants, I mean, I think would make anyone sick. Really, really sad. But this is kind of unfortunate. A federal judge Wednesday ruled in favor of the Ringling Brothers and Barnum and Bailey Circus in a case brought by animal rights activists who accused the circus of abusing elephants. The U.S. District Court Judge Sullivan said the former Ringling employee and the Animal Protection Institute did not have the legal standing to sue the circus because they brought the lawsuit under the Endangered Species Act. So apparently someone else with the correct authority needs to bring this lawsuit. And this judge didn't want to get involved with how the animals were treated and so forth. But so, you know, the downside is that he ruled against this suit, but it was not because it didn't have merit. It was because the people doing it weren't quite the right people to call on the Endangered Species Act or whatever it is.
But they didn't do it appropriately.
Hopefully. We are, I'll tell you folks, I've decided we are going to do a special show about, we're going to concentrate on the elephants at Woodland Park Zoo. But our stance has changed dramatically for very good reasons, and we're going to do a show on the elephants probably in February or March. So anyway, stay tuned for that. This is something we could probably talk to Dr. Al about, but this is interesting also. You can pull this up. Scientists may have to thin bighorn sheep herds to save them. This is out of Yakima. 14 years ago, a pneumonia outbreak killed 300 of the animals. And now, unfortunately, since the first week of December, 10 bighorns on the west side of the canyon have died from pneumonia again. And now they're concerned that this could spread to all of the bighorn sheep in our state. It could kill them all. So they're thinking they may have to kill the herd that's infected to save the rest of the sheep in the state. I think Dr. Al has done some work with bighorn sheep.
Yeah, I think he has.
I'm going to put that aside just in case. And that's all of the news that we've got going. And so that leaves us with the good stuff.
Yay!
We'll finish up here quickly with the best good news about animals. Ooh, I just looked outside again, and it looks like snow, doesn't it?
It does look like snow.
Look, it's not cold enough to be snowy, but a lot of snow on the Olympics. And boy, the cloud cover sure moved in, but I think they're predicting rain. Okay, speaking of good, we'll go through these real quickly so we can get on to Vet Sunday. The Yakima return of coho on the Columbia exceeds expectations. So biologists began working in the 1990s to restore the coho by introducing hatchery fish from the lower Columbia River, and these efforts combined with improved ocean conditions are credited with higher returns this year. So good news for the coho salmon. Another possible good news, remember we've talked about the Tasmanian devils, the marsupial.
Yes.
In Australia's Tasmania that are threatened by this facial cancer.
Yep.
The whole species they're concerned may die out. And scientists have discovered how the cancer originated. And it's a complicated article, and you really just need it to you need to read it to understand it. But apparently, once they figure out the origin of the cancer, they can better then make a vaccine or whatever. So they're on the right track. This may be the answer to saving the Tasmanian devils, they say. So that's good. Now, the winner of the best good news about animals is here locally out of Olympia. A new law designed to eliminate puppy mills in Washington imposes tougher standards on breeders. The law, which took effect Friday, makes it illegal to own or have custody of more than 50 dogs capable of breeding and over the age of 6 months. It also spells out requirements for taking care of the dogs, including the size of cages, temperature, and cleanliness. If a breeder has 10 or more dogs, it requires that each dog have adequate time and space to exercise. So this is the state's attempt to shut down puppy mills.
Well, I'm excited. I have to say, I'm excited about it. It's a start.
Yeah, it is a start.
50 dogs is still
right,
a lot of dogs.
Right, way too many. It's way,
you know,
way too many.
You know, 25 dogs is a lot of dogs.
Yeah.
But it's a start. And so I will applaud the start and hope that we can slim that number down even more.
Yep. So all right, so there you go. All right, we are going to take care of our advertisers and sponsors here while Sandy gets Dr. Al on the line, and then we will begin Vet Sunday. So stay with us right here on Alternative Talk, AM 1150. Hey, since 1978, Puget Sound area animal owners have been able to depend on Jones & Company Pets for all of their animal care needs. At Jones & Company, their spacious store allows room for everything you need for your animal companions. You can find foods, accessories, fish supplies, supplements, cleaning products, and a whole lot more. The store-within-a-store concept makes it easy to find the right products for your dog, cat, fish, bird, or exotic animal friend. And Jones & Company rigorously trains their staff so they can easily answer all of your questions. Now go to the Jones & Company Pets website to find out all the items that are on sale. Then it's worth a trip up to State Street in Marysville to pick up your sales items. Remember to join the Preferred Customer Club. Get your card. It keeps track of what you buy. And then you get money back. You get free food for dog food and cat food. So it's well worth it. Check them out. Jones & Company Pets. You can give them a call at 360-658-7817. That's 360-658-7817 at Jones & Company Pets. Their goal is happy, satisfied customers enjoying happy and healthy pets.
This new year, give your dog, cat, or ferret the gift of great health naturally. Make NuPro all-natural supplements an essential part of your pet's diet. NuPro makes an awesome gravy sure to please. This gravy provides fresh nutrients for a beautiful silky skin and coat, a strong immune system, and a healthy digestion, among other wonderful benefits. NuPro's joint support formula is perfect for working dogs, large breeds, and especially seniors. So go with NuPro, your pet's best friend for over 20 years. Go to NuProSupplements.com for more information. That's NuProSupplements.com.
Called the Oprah of radio by her listeners, award-winning host Dr. Pat Desilia is blowing the doors off traditional talk radio. Get ready for powerful interviews with leaders in the field of human potential. Dr. Pat's perspective on living life full out has catapulted her show to the top of talk radio. Tune in, and Dr. Pat will help you thrive instead of merely survive. Listen to the Dr. Pat Show Monday through Friday, 10 a.m. to noon on AM 1150, KKNW, and visit thedrpatshow.com.
Karma specialist and founder of Metaphysical Mothering, Robin Alexis, is nurturing, powerful, and phenomenally gifted. Her books and personal one-on-one phone sessions can change your life forever. And now she's channeled the Mary Magdalene Reiki Healing Energy Portal. And she's created the Robin Alexis Online Soul Spa. Come to her website, robinalexis.com, for details on how to get a free month subscription to her online soul spa. Robin invites you to share your comments and metaphysical experiences on her forum and blog, and she invites you to take advantage of the free month subscription to her online soul spa at robinalexis.com. Robin uses her ability as a medium, medical intuitive, and healer to assist you in removing blockages so you can experience life more fully. You can call her for a private session at 360-457-2993, or you can email her at robin@robinalexis.com.
The new mainstream of talk radio, Alternative Talk, 1150 AM.
Hey y'all, Martha Norwalk, and we're winding down the first hour of our Happy New Year edition of Animal World, but you can find us here every Sunday morning, 9 a.m. to noon, right here on Alternative Talk, AM 1150. Now, it's the first Sunday of the month, the first Sunday of the decade, and that means it's Vet Sunday with Dr. Al Pluckner, author of Pets at Risk, From Allergies to Cancer, Remedies for an Unsuspected Epidemic, the Breakthrough Endocrine Immune Balance Program. He's also got the Human Compendium of Articles on the same subject, a great website at www.drpluckner, if you want to check it out, drpluckner, P-L-E-C-H-N-E-R.com. And got another, the healthypetnetwork.org, we're going to be talking about today. But let's suffer starters here. Let's welcome Dr. Al back to the show, and Happy New Year, and welcome back, Dr. Al.
Well, thanks, Martha. Happy New Year to you, too.
Yeah, we missed you last month.
Well, I missed being on, too. And you know, hopefully I can arrange it so I can continue the program. So I love doing it. We've done it together for, gosh, 6.5 years now.
Yeah, it's been a long time.
Yeah, it's been a good time.
It's right after the book came out.
Correct.
Is when we started this. Now, last month, December, you were having an early Christmas. Didn't you go to spend time with your family?
Right, correct.
So you were back up in Idaho?
Yeah, I was back up there.
So how's the wild life up in Idaho doing?
Well, they're coming back in our area. They're coming back. The rest of the area, the wolves seem to have chased everything out.
Mm.
They're just gone. My son was up on the North Fork of the Clearwater for 6 hours, and the only animals he saw were two game wardens.
Oh, two game wardens?
Yeah, two-legged, yeah.
Well, the wolves then apparently have made a huge difference.
They made a huge dent, yeah. They
over
made
there, because I remember when we first started doing these Vet Sundays with you, you were still living full-time up in Idaho. And boy, every month we'd talk to you, there was all kinds of wildlife all over the place.
Yeah, now it's just, it was funny.
Elk and deer and wild turkey.
Now when Jay came back from the North Fork where they had seen absolutely nothing, we still feed during the winter for the, you know, fawns and baby elk and stuff like that. And there were four elk and a bunch of deer there. And so they've come back into our area, but nothing like they had been. But the other areas, they're just gone.
Hmm.
Just really frightening. Well, you look at Yellowstone, you look at they've really made a dent, unfortunately, in our wildlife population. And as you know, it's an altered environment, and every time we kind of stick our nose into it, figure we're going to do something good, we really, really foul it up.
Yeah, well, that kind of seems to be human nature.
Yeah, it seems to be, yeah, I think.
Yeah, we just did animals in the news, and I held this article aside because I wanted to ask you about it. And this was in this week's Times, about the bighorn sheep in this state, that 14 years ago, apparently a pneumonia outbreak killed off like 300 of them. And now they've, since December, 10 bighorn sheep have died of pneumonia, and they're thinking that they're going to have to kill a whole herd of bighorn to save the rest of the bighorn in the state. And I seem to remember, didn't you do some work with bighorn sheep somewhere?
Yeah, I was a volunteer research immunologist for the Bighorn Sheep Society of California.
Yeah, so what can you tell us about bighorn sheep and pneumonia?
Well, you know, it's interesting. You know, what you worry about with the pneumonia, you worry about, other sheep diseases that can be transmitted.
Mm-hmm.
The one thing you worry about, too, and I got wind of this a number of years ago when I was just beginning my research, there was, in fact, a lamb born to a bighorn ewe in the Chicago zoo, as I remember.
Yeah.
And they went ahead and tested the antibody, IgA, which you're aware of.
Oh, relating to the endocrine immune imbalance.
Sure,
it
was totally deficient. So the lamb did die from a pneumonia because it couldn't protect itself. And the thing that I've worried about with roving bands of sheep, when the highways came and the fences came, what would happen is it would keep the sheep in a certain area. And so the dominant ram or the dominant ram's son would service all the ewes. And what was happening was the gene pool was getting too close, so these animals could not protect themselves. Even if it was a resident virus or something they bumped into, the body was not healthy enough because the immune system was not working correctly. So what we did was we went ahead and we actually did my endocrine immune many, many years ago.
Endocrine?
On the sheep.
You did the blood test?
Yeah, we did apple butter under nets and caught 16 lambs and ewes. We bled them all to see exactly where they were with cortisols, T3, T4, everything I'm doing right now. And then we flew out in a chopper with a tranquilizer gun and took two beautiful big rams, and they seemed to be healthy. So then we took them up to Independence, California, and the herd was starting up there. I haven't followed, as you know, this has been many, many years ago, but that was the thing that hit me was, you know, are we looking at some genetic defects going because of the animals not being able to roam and have different gene pools coming. And this is one of the reasons in Africa we tried to set up a situation so that you were not allowed to shoot hyenas, jackals, wild dogs, things like this. And the reason for that is they chase the animals around. And so you get fresh genetics. You don't have
gotcha.
The same Cape buffalo. And so this is kind of, you know, again, like we talked about, this is an altered environment, and how do you get them back to how they used to be? I mean, in their environment right now, we've got pesticides. We have domestic animal diseases. We have inbreeding. So, you know, we're really seeing, unfortunately, like I've said before, a little bit of a genetic ice age. And so I think what they need to do is they ought to be testing some of these sheep and not, I think, assume that it's a pandemic like H1N1 or whatever. It well may be, Martha. I'm not, you know, I'm definitely not.
Okay, so let me see if I understand this. Because, well, we need to talk a little bit about this endocrine immune imbalance that you've discovered, well, over 40 years ago and have been working with. We've been calling it the Pleckner syndrome. And so far, you know, we know for sure that it affects dogs, cats, horses, and humans, and involves the balance between, what, cortisol and total estrogen.
Correct.
And when these hormones are out of balance, the immune system depletes, and then what happens as a result of that in the individuals, like your book says, from allergies to cancer, it can be all kinds of diseases. But I think it's been your contention that if, you know, human, dog, cat, horse, if they're healthy and their endocrine immune system is balanced, then their immune system can usually deal with these viruses and so forth without a problem. So you're saying, so that, and that's kind of what jumped out at me with these bighorn sheep in our state, because this pneumonia comes into a herd, and pretty much according to this article, it's a complete die-off. Everybody dies.
Well,
so you know, you wonder what are the immune systems like in those animals? And now, of course, you can say that years ago you did this work with bighorn sheep, and the testing that you did then confirmed that this endocrine immune imbalance was prevalent within those sheep as well.
Sure, and the little, you know, lamb that died is mother, the youth, had an IgA deficiency too. This is, you know, what, 35, 40, 40 some odd years ago. So, you know, you look at what used to work now doesn't work because you've seen many generations of inbreeding going on.
Right, and that's what you're, because we know that this endocrine immune imbalance can be passed on genetically. So we're saying with these isolated herds, and when they just breed among themselves, then they're actually probably breeding this endocrine immune imbalance.
They may well do that. And I think what people don't realize is that the hormone, the secret of life really is a balance between, as you've mentioned, active cortisol and estrogen, whether it's being produced in the body, whether it's exogenous, where you're ingesting it, it's in the groundwater, it's in plastic, it's this and this. And what you get into then is the realization that the hormones regulate the immune system, period. The immune system seems not to operate on its own. And when you look at the two main immune cells, the one cell, called a B cell, is there to protect you against bacteria, and it's there to make antibodies against various invaders. The T cell is there to protect you against viruses and fungi, candida, things like this. And when they're deregulated, they're not protecting the body, but they also seem to lose recognition of self tissue and start making antibodies against the body itself. And this is where your autoimmunity comes from. This is where your uncontrolled tissue growth comes from. But everything's in a quandary now with the laboratories. Many of them don't have the ability to do a total estrogen. Many of them are not.
All right, well, before we close out this hour, let's explain kind of the basics about this endocrine immune imbalance so that we have that out of the way and can launch off into other stuff for the rest of the show. But, you know, my understanding, and you kind of like the way I explain it, so I'll just rattle it off quickly. What you discovered is that your concepts are controversial because of the cortisol. We have been kind of programmed to think that cortisone is bad, Although when you hear all the horrible stories about cortisone, no one bothered to say that cortisol is a natural hormone that our bodies need in order to be healthy. So what you discovered is that for whatever reason, the adrenal glands are either not producing enough cortisol, or the cortisol that is being produced is defective in some way, so it's not recognized and responded to appropriately by the rest of the body. And as a result, the inner layer of the adrenal gland starts producing estrogen. And this is the part that's been missed, you know, in medicine, in that we're not talking ovarian estrogen. That's why this imbalance applies to dogs, cats, horses, humans, male, female, spayed, neuter. Doesn't matter, because it doesn't have anything to do with testicles or ovaries. This is an adrenal estrogen, and like you said, this can be amplified by sources of estrogen outside the body, like estrogen in foods, estrogen in plastic and groundwater, that sort of thing. But as the estrogen gets high, it then interferes or binds other hormones from working, particularly the thyroid hormones. And once the thyroid hormones are deregulated, then the antibodies start to deplete. And that's what you mentioned when you say the IgA. And once the antibodies deplete, then how the physical problems manifest, and it can be physical, like cancer, allergies, inflammatory bowel, seizures, you name it, or it can be behavioral, extreme and irrational fears and aggressions.
As you've seen.
Yeah, oh, absolutely. As an animal behavior therapist, I see it all the time. And at any rate, you have figured out a blood test, we call it an EI1 for endocrine immune panel, that tests these things in the blood to find out if one is balanced or not. And it involves a test for total estrogen, cortisol, T3, T4, which are the thyroid hormones, and then three antibodies, of which IgA is one of them. And then you've come up with a treatment protocol, which is a little different for dogs, for cats, for horses, and for humans. And once the endocrine immune system and those hormones are back in balance, then a lot of the physical and behavior problems just go away, or they respond to treatment, you know, better than they would have before. And we know with dogs especially, and with humans, there's another component to the healing process, and that, of course, is food and food allergies. Because we know, especially with dogs, that if they're eating foods they're allergically sensitive to, that can bring on the symptoms or signs of the imbalance. Is that correct?
Absolutely, because if those glands are not nourished correctly, their hormone production will be reduced, and therefore it kicks you into this syndrome. And the other end of the stick that no one understands, which is really important, is that an IgA should probably be done on all patients under all circumstances, whether it's a CB, a complete blood count, blood chemistry, because in
so an IgA, testing that particular antibody, which is the antibody that what keeps mucous membrane healthy, so like...
Yeah, it's in the mucous membrane.
Intestinal tract, gums, yeah. Internal organs, that sort of thing, and when that's depleted, there's a problem.
Well, then the patient can't absorb, and this is one of the reasons why a patient can be in the hospital on IVs and do very well and be sent home on the same medication orally and it won't work. We'll try something different. No, the patient never absorbed it. So that's a critical point. That IgA must be tested to make sure that whatever you prescribe, the patient will be able to utilize and absorb.
All right. Well, I just want to finish up on this bighorn sheep business before we close this hour. Now, obviously, if there's a problem with this endocrine immune imbalance in the sheep herds, you're not going to be able, you can't medicate all of these animals. But, and that's why you're saying it's the genetic diversity that counters this. The animals need to be commingled in some way so that the genetics are more varied and to bring back a healthier immune system for these animals. Was that kind of what you're saying?
Yeah, exactly. And it's hard. I mean, you've got to... Well, for example, when often people will say, well, we'll bring something in from Europe, animal-wise, and we'll introduce a type of breeding and genetics that's never been done before. Well, the problem is, throughout the world, when man has encroached upon wildlife and it's kept them from doing their thing naturally and roving,